Good evening and welcome to Radio Chronicles, stories of ordinary folks caught up in extraordinary times. First-hand accounts of life's everyday experiences and events. I'm Veronica Faison. Tonight on Radio Chronicles,
I walked into this class, I was just overwhelmed by something that was going on in that class that I had not experienced in any other dance class.
Peace activist and dancer Lois Flood shares her story of renewal and transformation after she's introduced to the artistry of Isadora Duncan. The story was produced and is narrated by KPFA producer and news reporter Tina Boscherman. Up next, Lois Flood and Isadora Duncan. Just come on.
I visited with Lois Flood at her studio in the suburban Contra Costa County community of Danville, California. We sat down for a cup of tea, and Lois talked about what drew her to Isadora Duncan, the mother of modern dance. Just as Isadora did, Lois kicked off her ballet shoes and began using dance as a vehicle for social activism. Lois's mission became to show people what Isadora was doing that caused such a revolution at the turn of the 20th century.
I started my dance. I love to say this because this is very much part of my culture and very much part of my love for dance. My father was Puerto Rican, and he loved the jíbaro music of Puerto Rico. We lived in New York City in a city project, and the thing that brought him the most joy is on his day off, he'd push the furniture aside and he'd put on a merengue, and he would teach me to dance by standing on his feet. And I would dance. I developed the love of dance and music because my father taught me this at a very young age. And then we always danced at all family gatherings. So it progressed to my mother took me to a Grant Street Settlement House in New York City. It was a place where children learned art and dance, poor children, underprivileged children. And I had my dance lessons there for free in the basement of a brownstone walk-up. I eventually married, moved to San Francisco to the Mission, and studied with Alan Howard, who was with Ballet Russe of Monte Carlo. And he was my first super formal ballet teacher, and boy, was he tough. He always come up with me with a stick and say, "Your hands look like shovels. Make your hands pretty." And then the most influential person, I believe, that was very helpful to me in dance was Ron Guidi, the founder director of the Oakland Ballet. His classes, his ballet classes, were not formal like a traditional ballet class. His ballet bar was a dance. Just standing at the bar, all the movements were continuous. And he moved, and he allowed you to move with the music without stopping, without the rigidness that you one can experience in many ballet classes. So Ron Guidi was someone that I really loved to take class with, and learned a lot about art and dance from him. I made the trip from Danville to the Oakland Ballet for 20 years and took four classes a week from Ron. And, you know, if I had any extra money for gas or classes, that's exactly where it went, towards my training. I loved the way he worked with children. He was ballet Duncan teacher. He was wonderful with children. I loved the way he first taught children to listen to music, and I would watch his classes, and he would allow the children to do the little piques without having the foot perfectly turned out, just to have them move musically. And that was just wonderful to see his style with children. And he also treated adults like that. I realized that there was another way of teaching children. And I almost felt obligated to teach children. I mean, I love teaching children. But I really felt that that to inspire children to love music and to love dance, or to be a positive influence on their first experience with dance, was extremely important. Because I have had many people come up to me and say, oh, my ballet teacher when I was a little girl said I was awkward, I wasn't musical. Well, that's just really a really, really terrible thing. And I think those teachers should not be teaching. I really do. Well, I was first introduced to Isadora's work, I guess it was about 1987. I was a ballet girl. I took lots of ballet classes. It was a hobby that turned into a small career. And I had a ballet school in Danville for children. So Isadora Duncan's style dance was not of any interest to me at all. I considered it maypole dance. I knew a little bit about Isadora, but nothing about her style of dance and the technique. I really thought there was no technique to the dance. This woman I met called on me many times and kept after me and said, you know, I really want you to try this class. And I said, are you kidding? I'm just not interested. If dance doesn't have a grand jeté or a pirouette, to me it wasn't dance. Finally, I agreed to go with her, and I went to a class that was held in San Francisco, taught by Mignon Garland. I walked into this class. I was just overwhelmed by something that was going on in that class that I had not experienced in any other dance class. And I've been thinking about it for weeks as to why and what encouraged me to go back. There was more than just physical movement going on and happening in that class. And it just, that one class turned me around. After that one class, I started on the path of almost being a devotee of Isadora's work. And so I continued to go to Mignon's class for a year and a half. And then I sought out other teachers. And I went to New York and studied with some of the Duncan teachers in New York. But I would like to add this one thing. When I first studied with Mignon in San Francisco, I walked into the class and I was able to do all of the movements. Of course, because I had studied ballet for 15, 20 years. But because I had this ballet background, I was able to swing my leg and run across the floor and do all the things that Mignon asked us to do. But I was not doing them with the Duncan technique. And I didn't realize that till years later. Mignon would scream at me and she would try to correct me. And I thought, well, I can do that. And it wasn't till years later that I really understood the depth of the movement and the involvement that one must have before this movement really looks like something and that one can communicate what they'd like to communicate through the dance. I was married for 20 years, and during that time, I took my ballet classes, I had my ballet school, and then a huge tragedy and change happened. My husband passed away, and that was a huge shock. My whole world changed. And a year after that, I was introduced to Isadora's dance, and that opened another completely new world to me. And I think the loss of my husband, I was more open to my feelings, to expression, to being more human and less as just doing what I was supposed to do. So it could have been that, I believe that was the change for me. And that it was a huge change in my life. So the Duncan work, because of the fact that the dance has so much to do with expression and feeling and communicating, it was my way of expressing to the world some of my life. Possibly as Isadora did when she created the dance of the mother, the loss of her children that She lost her children in 1913 in an automobile accident. They drowned. And after that, her dance changed and became fewer steps. There were fewer steps in her dance, and I believe deeper emotion and expressionism. Well, I believe if that tragedy hadn't happened, I would have continued my life as a ballet teacher for children, and as someone that was interested in the arts and in an active. I was always an activist, but it was within a limited range of ability that I could. I couldn't really do what I really wanted to do. I just felt like I couldn't do it. Women of my generation, many of us felt it was our duty to be homemakers, and the home came first, husband came first, and unfortunately I was part of that, and that's the way I led my life. And I mean, although my politics were pretty radical and I would get into huge arguments with my husband on the verge of divorce, because we would have these terrible disagreements about Vietnam or Ronald Reagan. I mean, it was just, but I have to say one thing in his, in defense of him. He was a wonderful husband, and at the very end, he did agree with me. Ronald Reagan was not one of his favorite people. Yay!
This is Radio Chronicles on KPFA. You're listening to a conversation with Lois Flood. She's telling the story about how the legacy of modern dance icon Isadora Duncan has influenced her life and activism.
Well, my first place I danced, I did a political dance, was at the Concord Naval Weapons Station. I was involved in the vigil out there for about 2 years, or a year and a half. I think it was more like a year and a half. And it was an amazing experience for me. So I did do a dance in front of the Concord Naval Weapons Station. It wasn't well received by the military, but we did it, and we were there expressing our feelings about what was happening and the transportation of the weapons to Central America to prolong a war that was just not something we should have been involved in. Another thing that I've been I was involved in for about 2.5 years was the the crosses of Lafayette. And though the crosses are supposedly not a political site, but for me they are. They represent war. They represent the outcome of a war. What war is about. It's about death and many other things. So we do have vigils out there, and I've performed a couple times. I love to do the dance called the Nocturne. It's a beautiful Chopin piece of music, and the dance, just to capsulize it, is about the angel. She wafts out and she looks and she sees the spirit, the soul, the fallen soldier, the fallen person. She goes over to that spirit or that body that has fallen, and lifts the spirit gently out and takes it up and reaches up to heaven and carries the soul, the spirit, up to heaven. And then the end of the dance, the angel is just leaving and going to heaven herself, and then she calls the rest of the spirits to follow her. And I think that represents my feeling and my sorrow and my pain for the actions that we as Americans, not Americans, but our country is involved in when we get involved in war. I've also danced at Santa Rita Prison for the federal prison and for the county inmates. And I don't know why I wanted to go to the jail, but it just seemed like they might like to see a Duncan program or they might not. But it was an interesting experience. I'd like to really talk about the county jail, because I've developed a relationship with the program person, and he likes me now. He allows me to come in whenever I call him. He lets me do a program. But it's an amazing experience, because, like, why would I want to take Isadora Duncan Dance to a group of mostly young women of color that you don't know how they're going to react to Chopin and Schubert and the Greek tunic, you know, like, what are you doing here, you know? And I don't know what, you know, why I did this in the beginning, but I just decided I wanted to do this. So I put a group together, and I brought a poet, Mary Rudge, and another dancer, and myself. And we went in. Going into the prison was really something, you know, where they make you take your bobby pins off and your pins and no lipstick or anything. So we walk into the gym, and here at the, we look up and at the bleachers, there's just a huge, maybe 100 group of young women staring at us. And I thought, uh-oh. I don't know how they're going to react to this. So what I did was I just walked up to them and I said, look, this is a dance that's about a native daughter. It's about a woman who came from poverty, and she raised herself up all by herself, and she created this style of dance. And it's about women's freedom and expression and beauty and truth. And if you don't like it, please stay anyway and give it a chance. And I have to tell you, I was shocked. Not one left to go to the bathroom, and they were allowed to leave. They could leave if they wanted to. Not one left. Not one went to the bathroom. They seemed to be involved with me and the poet and the other dancer. And it was really a surprise to me, because I wasn't sure how they were going to respond to this dance. And at the end of the program, they left the bleachers, and they almost all of them surrounded us with so much love. And I'm not making this up. It was like so moving and so wonderful that they responded to this, that they did like this, and that why not think that they could enjoy something by Chopin and Schubert? And so it was. We have been invited back, so I'm planning another trip in. And I think I've been to the prison about 4 or 5 times. The federal prison was a little different. The response was a little quieter, but the county prison was really, it was really something. And I must say, coming from the Lower East Side, I saw myself that I could trade places with any one of them, because my background probably mirrors their background. And somehow I avoided that. And I think about that a lot. Isadora influenced the art of dance and encouraged women to be recognized as artists, as dancers and artists. Before that time, most of the women dancers were dancing girls, and girls doing gymnastics. Duncan technique is very different. For example, the one I'm the most familiar with is ballet. Ballet, the movement starts at the lower back. The back is straight, and your arms and legs will execute a specific movement. For example, when you're doing a glissade, jeté assemblé, the body's almost always upright, and the legs move independent of the torso, and the arms also move independently of the torso. Isadora Duncan Dance is completely opposite of that. The dance starts at the solar plexus. The movement, you must feel, you must go inward. You can put your hands on your solar plexus, you can take a breath, you can close your eyes, you can do whatever it takes, but the movement starts at the solar plexus. And so you lift, you breathe, you lift your solar plexus, and you go forward from your center. The motor, the center, the emotion starts here in your solar plexus, in your center. Some people think the solar plexus is up between the ribs and the breastbone. Some take it a little lower. You know, it's an individual thing. And wherever your solar plexus, wherever you think your solar plexus is, that's where the center of the emotion and the movement starts. Then, as you move your solar plexus and your torso and your energy forward, your arms follow. Your arms just sort of follow the expression of the movement of your solar plexus. And the legs are the same way. We don't have steps in Isadora Duncan dance. We do and we don't, but they're not specific. They're not like a jeté assemblé. It's more of movement that actually emanates from the center, and the legs and the arms follow to fulfill the expression of the music or the interpretation of the music. Well, where I would like to take this work is I would like to be able to go, I would like to not to have to ask for money every place I go. I would like to go to more libraries in more areas that might enjoy seeing this, bring this program to children, bring this program to the veterans' hospitals, bring this program into the prison again, and maybe not always as a performance, but as a workshop. I'd like to go into the women's prison and lead a workshop and teach the women and show the women how this gestural work is such a positive thing to do, and it's very good for... It makes all of us feel this gestural work is a very, very expressive, positive way of using the body. The body moves in the curvier, linear way, in a natural way that almost anyone can do. Not everyone is a performer, but anyone can do and dance Isadora Duncan dance. So my goal is to introduce as many people to Isadora as I can, and to share the work to reach people in prisons and veterans hospitals and more libraries. I know when I call a library, they'll ask me, well, can you dance here? Can you dance there? I can dance almost anywhere. I just adjust and I bring the dances to fit the space. The most important thing is to share this work with as many people as I can. And I'm teaching now. I have two or three students. It's a wonderful thing to be able to pass this work on. The wonderful thing about Isadora Duncan dance is that there is no competition. It's about your own personal expression through the dance, your interpretation of the music, your gift of generosity to the audience through your dance. And so competition is wiped out. It's not part of this work. And each Duncan dancer will express in her own way. When I perform the Narcissus Chopin waltz, it will look different and the expression will be different than my young dancer that I'm teaching the Narcissus to. Because she's younger, her expression and her experiences are different. So she will be giving something different than I will be giving. So there's no competition. The wonderful thing about Isadora Duncan dance is that there is no competition. It's about your own personal expression through the dance, your interpretation of the music, your gift of generosity to the audience through your dance. And so competition is wiped out. It's not part of this work. And each Duncan dancer will express in her own way. When I perform the Narcissus Chopin waltz, it will look different and the expression will be different than my young dancer that I'm teaching the Narcissus to. Because she's younger, her expression and her experiences are different. So she will be giving something different than I will be giving. So there's no competition. I just like to add that I am trying to show the Duncan work in its most natural form. There are many, many interpretations of Isadora's dance. I have looked at sketches. I have read her works. I have looked at artwork. I am friends with the Duncan family. I have really thought a lot about this dance, and I feel it's got to contain the curvier, linear, natural line. If it looks balletic, it's really not Isadora Duncan dance, in my opinion. And many people have their own interpretation, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm trying to keep that natural, curvier, linear, natural expression as part of the dance. And that's why when I present the dance, I mention that. I will tell my guests that this dance was created in the early 1900s. Isadora was the first dancer to remove the ballet slippers, to remove the tutu, and to say you free the body, you free the woman, and use Greek art and Greek culture to be part of her expression of the movement. And the Greek art and Greek culture showed movement as a curvier linear line, not a straight line. And that's so important because as a modern audience watching me, they expect me to have a straighter line, to have more defined look to my movement. And I really want to warn them that that's not what they're going to see. They're going to see something that was created in the 1920s. And that makes me feel a little safer that they will accept what I'm doing as something that's been thought through. It's not by accident.
This is Radio Chronicles on KPFA. You've been listening to excerpts of a conversation taped with Lois Flood about the influence of Isadora Duncan on her life. Lois is a community artist, peace activist, and director of the Diablo Dance Theater. Radio Chronicles airs every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. I'm Tina Boscheman.
For the Radio Chronicles team, I'm Veronica Faison. Thanks for listening and see you next week.